Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Happy Tuesday morning to you, John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard. Kicking off your 7 o'clock hour. Bob, how are you?
I'm cold, man. Feel okay, but I got a rental car that was in the driveway overnight. Usually it's in my garage, but my car's getting some work done to it and came out, and it's like it's almost May, man, and I froze, but not that big of a problem. I'm feeling fine. How are you?
First world problems.
It is.
I'm in shambles, to be honest. Yeah, I'm in shambles. I am sleepy. The West Coast NBA playoff games are starting to take a toll on me, and we're just on game two. We're just on night three of this, but starting to take a toll on me. My back's a little tweaked, a little sore, a little stiff. Yesterday I was in big shambles. Today I'm just in a little shamble. Yesterday I was on the verge of tears. I was just went to the gym. It was leg day. Hit my squats, hit my deadlifts, and I tweaked something in my back. I messed up my rotation. I did deadlifts before squats, and it threw everything off. And then this new gym I go to, Bob, it's got a sauna, and I was like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I try to go do some cardio. And I was like, elliptical. 2 minutes into, I was like, nope, back's not gonna work here. So I was like, I'm just gonna lay in the sauna, stretch this thing out. And of course, the one time I really wanted to go, it was whenever this guy was in there cleaning it. And he's in there cleaning the floor. And the door's open in the sauna, and people are standing around. And one guy's sitting in the sauna, so I was like, okay, maybe it's still on. I was like, maybe it's just still a little warm. I'll go in there. When I went in there, he's just like, I don't know what the bleep you guys are doing. It's turned off, and you guys just keep walking through my water. I was like, my bad, bro. Like, I'm sorry. Okay. I saw a guy sitting in there. I thought it was open. My fault. I don't know why he's sitting in there if it's not open, but I don't know why you're yelling at me. Like, you just had a chance to yell at him. He's not that much bigger than me. I don't even think he's any bigger than me. Like, what you think I'm soft, or what's going on here?
So sauna or steam? So it was like the dry wood type thing, or?
Yeah. I know the difference between a sauna and steam room, Bob. I said sauna. It was a sauna.
I was just asking. Yeah.
No, the steam room, I've done steam rooms before. I kind of like those, but this place only has a sauna. But it's a good sauna. I actually enjoy the sauna.
What did they call them on The Sopranos? A schwitz?
I don't know.
That's what they'd call a steam.
I always think about making sure nobody's wired up, though, when I'm in there.
Claustrophobic in a steam room.
You get claustrophobic in a steam room? Yeah. Yeah, because it just gets so full.
Yeah.
You could easily get stabbed in there and nobody would see who did it.
Yeah.
If you had an enemy, they could come in, stab you in the steam room, mm-hmm. and get out. They could mm-hmm. be in there waiting for you. Especially, like, back in the day, I'd go to steam room, at least they had, like, the mint, peppermints, like,
I've
smell.
I've been in one of those, too. That's great.
Yeah, those are good. And then sometimes it would be out, and it would just be, like, the steam, and then it would get kind of stinky in there. But, no, this one's just got a sauna. And I go in there for about 12 minutes. The problem is I don't take my headphones in the sauna.
It's good.
Because I feel like it's bad for you, like, your headphones. Some people do. But when I'm not in, when I don't have the headphones in, I can just hear the music that's playing outside in the locker room, and it's just all like just weird pop music. So that gets a little annoying. But then I'm timing up the songs. Like, okay, I'm gonna stay in here two more songs. But then usually somebody will be in there with their headphones blasting. That's the thing. Is like you'll get a good mix. Like I want an old man sauna like The Sopranos, like you're talking about, Bob. Where you're just in there in your towel, relaxing. No one goes in their towel, so I feel weird. I'm just sitting there naked, and everyone's just kind of looking at me like I'm weird, and I'm just sitting there like, whatever. And they're just all fully dressed, sometimes wearing full hoods, shadow boxing. Some people are in there training.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that in the steam room. A guy, like, jogs in place.
Yeah, he's in there in a full hoodie like he's trying to cut weight before a big fight. Like, yeah, you don't have a fight, bro. Relax. Like, he's in there shadow boxing, music blasting, just groaning. Ugh! And I'm like, oh, come on.
What I have to do, excuse me, in the steam room is, I don't have to, but I choose to, because it's foggy in there, whenever somebody comes in, I cough. Just kind of give them some reference, like, I'm here, man.
Watch. Old Marco Polo action.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, watch where you where you go and plop down.
That's a nice move.
Yeah, always a little cough. Yeah. <Yep.
laughs> Yeah, it's always weird, because so, you never get to sign it to yourself. So either you're going in on people or they're coming in on you, and it's a whole thing.
I don't like making conversation in there either.
Oh, like, I know.
And you're going through hell.
No, that's a cue to leave, yeah. As a matter of fact.
I've only made conversation there once, and it was pleasant. I had no problem with that guy. We had a nice conversation.
The place I went to back home, like in the summer, I'd go at about the same time, like every night, and there would just be the same guys in there, and like, they'd start talking to me like it's like some social club in the sauna after.
Well, that's kind of what it's supposed to be, though. That's kind of the vibe I want. Every time I've seen saunas on TV and movies, you're in there talking business, or, you know, you're in there with the same people, just kind of, you know.
It's like 180 degrees in there, though. I'm trying not to die, and they're like, hey, man, how's your workout today? I was like, well, it's getting really hard because I'm wasting my breath talking to you.
Yeah, I've gone in there before where it's like, you know, guys that I'm working out with or playing basketball with or whatever, that's a different deal. But if it's I can't start a conversation with somebody I don't know, not in a steam room.
I'd rather have the conversation than have the guy shadow boxing with the speakers blasting.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, sometimes they'll just be coming so loud their headphones, but then sometimes this guy was in there just playing it just off his phone, and I didn't say anything, but I was like, man, I had a bad run for a while in terms of just unpleasant experiences. But then yesterday, I was like, yeah, I just want to go in there and lay for about 15 minutes, four or five songs, just figure it out. And stretch out and didn't get in there.
You wish you could live in your own world like those people that just play music out loud, like in a public place.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I wish I had maybe 35% less self-awareness and shame.
Yeah.
Those people seem to be having the time of their life, mm-hmm. man. The people that just don't pick up on certain cues, they're just like going to do whatever they want without any like type of regard. I don't want to be completely reckless where people like think, oh, man, this guy's a real jerk. This guy mm-hmm. thinks he's something special. You know, I don't want to be that person, but like, I feel like I'm pretty self-aware.
Yeah.
I might not always come across something on the air when we're joking around and stuff, but I feel pretty self-aware and feel a lot of shame in certain awkward situations. And I wish I didn't. I wish I walked around just like, you know, basically with that glow after like a seltzer and a half. Okay. That level of confidence you have after a seltzer and a half. Where you're not drunk. You're still under the limits. But like, you lose that little bit of social anxiety. You lose that little bit of edge. You're a little bit funnier. You're like 5% funnier. 5% wittier. 5% less nervous about things. That's what I wish. Those people are just having the time of their life. Like, he was enjoying his music. He wasn't bothering me. Not in his mind. I was in his space.
He probably thought you loved it.
It was his sauna as far as he was concerned. He was mad I walked in.
I had a guy doing like mini lunges in the steam room and in a towel, by the way, man, not wearing apparel. It's like that. I just, to your point, it's like, what gives you the juice to think you can just do all that?
No one tells them no.
Yeah.
And if they do, they say, you're not the boss of me. You're not my dad. You don't own this place. And it's not a bad mentality to have. I kind of wish I had it. But if I sit in there too long in just awkward silence, I get up and leave. Or like if when the person was doing that, I cut mine short by 5 or 6 minutes just because I'm like, it's not worth any type of confrontation. It's not so much that I'm worried about their confrontation, but like I do think I have a little bit of a temper. And I feel like once I put something out there and it becomes a conflict, then I don't know how I'm going to react. Like, it's going to ruin my day. Like, if I had a negative interaction, I'm not saying it would come to blows in the sauna. I'm not saying that. But, like, if we got into an argument and it didn't come to blows, I would think about it for, like, 3 weeks about that jerk in the sauna. I'm still thinking about that guy that was just playing his music 2 months mm-hmm. later.
You're saving yourself.
It's just like, you know, I'm trying to Hakuna Matata. It means don't worry. You know, for the rest of your days, I'm trying just to, you know, vibe, chill, as they say.
Somebody on the morning show Discord, Peyton, He knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's talking about the Fort Sanders locker room and sauna, and that's where that's home for me, man. It's like that might be the guy. I hope it's not the lunch guy.
He's like, that's me.
Well, now you got a new steam room friend, at least.
Yeah.
When you're in there.
Good point.
You got a new steam room friend, and hopefully if he does his lunges, he's wearing at least some compression shorts or something. So yeah, I mean, I'm in shambles a little bit. Back's a little tweaked. Tired.
Yeah.
The only thing I had going for me was that, like, late Sunday night, I had just washed my sheets. So the last two nights I've had.
What you got going for you?
The only thing I got going for me is the last two nights. Well, I got three things going for me. Another thing. Washed my sheets so they're nice and smooth and nice and soft. So I slept well when I actually fell asleep. And also, like, I was on Tyrese Maxey to score points last night. So nice. 25, 30, and 35, we had a little bit of a ladder going. And that last three to pay out, like, 7.5-1. We had that going for us. Now, were we also on a live bet with the 76ers plus 2.5 in money line and watched them blow a 5-point lead with, like, 20 seconds left? Yes. Yes, we were. Did that hurt when they lost by three? Yes. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Did we also take the Magic last night thinking they'll bounce back? Yes, but we also had the under because neither one of those teams can score.
Y'all were right. Those games are nasty. Yeah.
Those games are gross. I told you, they're going to be gross. I thought the Magic would have more of a fight, but they don't. They don't. They'll probably win the two in Orlando, though, so they're probably going to get seven games of that slop. And then the Lakers Nuggets. I was on the Lakers plus 7.5. So good there. For some reason, I was trying to put a little same game parlay together. They are offering me a profit boost. I was like, okay, I want LeBron 2 threes, AD 25. Good, right? Third thing, I was like, what do I do? D'Angelo Russell? No, I'm not going to trust D'Angelo Russell. Mistake. D'Angelo Russell balling. Austin Reeves? No, he hasn't been scoring. For some reason, my dumbass ended up on Torin Prince over 6.5 points, and he scored 6. And it was such a bad feeling of like 9 minutes left when he gets checked out because you're like, you know, he's not getting back in. I was like, can we just get one little fast break? Can we get one bucket? He missed a three to get to 9, and that was it. We came short on the parlay. Thanks a lot, Torin Prince. Thanks for nothing. It's my fault. I put him on there. You can't put him on there. Yeah, that's on me. I couldn't find a third thing.
Names like that, they should give you a little disclaimer. Like, are you sure you want to bet this?
Yeah. Do you know, especially if I bet the under, are you sure? Like, is he fixing this? Are you going to get him suspended from the league? Because my dumbass is taking the over instead of just taking Jokic. Rebounds and assists. Like, it would have been fun.
It's too easy.
All I could think about when I was watching those games last night, as a Pacer fan, a team that scores a bunch of points, but you're in the playoffs, it's like, man, this is not looking good for teams that are heavy, heavy, heavy on offense because these things become more of a grind. And we know that all the time with playoff basketball. But I didn't look at the totals. John, sounds like you might have because you were scouring. How were the did all of them go under last night? Do you know?
All the games?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the games went under. The Knicks Sixers went under just by 0.5 point. It was 205.5 and ended up at 205. But yeah, home teams keep winning and the unders keep cashing. If you're looking, I mean, you might be a little late now, so maybe it's time to zag as they're going to try to, you know, maybe deflate those totals and maybe give the road teams a couple extra points. But that wasn't the case last night in terms of the teams down 1-0 had a little bit lower of lines. And you had more competitive games, but it didn't matter. Home teams kept winning. We'll talk some NBA playoffs. We'll talk some Tennessee basketball. Basketball heavy hour one. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach?
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, I tell you all the time, drink White Claw Hard Seltzer. Support the people who support us because it's delicious and they're paying me for it. Man, if I'm a Lakers fan, if I'm a Lakers player, I am completely distraught this morning. In case you went to bed at a normal hour like a normal person, you missed it, but It finally looked like the Lakers were going to end that losing streak to the Nuggets. It looked for a second. I was thinking, man, this Lakers team looks championship ready. You got LeBron, you got AD. These guys are balling. D'Angelo Russell hitting some shots. They all of a sudden look dangerous. They were up 20 points in the second half. And then just slowly, the Nuggets just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And that led up to a pretty wild final 4 or 5 minutes. Sam, were you awake to watch?
I was awake to watch. The NBA had me wrapped around his finger yesterday, honestly. I was locked in. Stayed up for the entirety of this one, all of the Knicks game. Had a good time with the NBA.
Two great games. Bob, were you up watching the end of the Lakers-Nuggets? Or like a lot of normal people and normal Americans, you were asleep.
Yeah, I was a little more normal. I wanted to stay up. I just couldn't. I was fighting it. I stayed up till about the third quarter, about halfway through the third, and then woke up this morning and saw the results and tapped into my lovely YouTube TV feature and get to watch all the key plays in about 2 minutes. And that actually is kind of fun because also it just, like you said, John, there were some crazy, crazy plays. I'm saying stuff to you guys who watched it live, but LeBron was amazing. I certainly saw one of the prettiest block shots I've seen in a long time in the first quarter, that one against Jamal Murray. It was a great game, obviously. And I couldn't believe the Lakers had that big of a lead. And what, they were up 10 going into the fourth still, too. I mean, it wasn't like it, you know, they still had some distance in the fourth quarter.
They couldn't get any stops down the stretch. I mean, Jokic went two quarters without a field goal. He was good in the first quarter, and then they held him pretty much without a field goal the next two quarters. But down the stretch, I mean, he put Anthony Davis in a blender a couple times, including a big and one at the end. But, like, it was – I don't want to say vintage LeBron, but it was LeBron, like, greatest player of all time, LeBron. Like, at least, like, on his last legs, and that might be the last bullets they have to fire. But, like, LeBron – the game gets back to two, I think, with 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left. You're like, okay, yeah, they're good. They might get blown out. You know, I had plus 7.5, and I'm like, man, I might go from up 20 to not even covering this game in the second half. But then LeBron hits back-to-back threes, gets them back up 8, down the stretch, had a big and one, missed the free throw, and then had a big steal with a minute left that led to a dunk that put them up 3. That it looked like, okay, if they can just get one stop, they can win this, and that's how it felt a couple times. But Jokic and Murray and even Michael Porter Jr. on the game tying through, they just kept making championship-level shots. And you realize, oh, yeah, they are the defending champions, and they're worthy champions, and you're going to have to cut their head off. They're not going to make mistakes. You're going to have to actually come down and beat them. And with 25 seconds left, LeBron had a wide-open three from the top of the key, the chance to win the game, and he missed it. The Nuggets got the rebound, and then Jamal Murray came down and beat the buzzer. Which I couldn't help but kind of laugh at that just because I think everyone waited all of March Madness for a buzzer beater, and we didn't get one. And then we got a really clutch one, you know, in game two of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, that shot was amazing. And just what we were talking about, I think, yesterday about D'Angelo Russell, like the Lakers need him to step up, and sure enough, he did. I mean, he had a great game. AD, great game. I mean, it wasn't enough. And Denver, again, looking the part of a defending champ. A couple of those Jamal Murray plays I saw, too, including that game winner. It always takes me back to where I really got captivated with him was that bubble season because, I mean, he played out of his mind then. And he's just he might be – I don't find myself rooting for guys who are Kentucky players in the NBA, but he might be my favorite ex-Kentucky player in the league. I mean, there's a lot of good ones, obviously, and I don't have a problem with Maxey. I don't have a problem with AD, but Murray has just always been so smooth to me, and that shot he hit to win it, that's a classic right there.
Yeah, he hasn't been great statistically in the first two games, at least shooting wise. He's 9 of 24 both games, I believe is the number. That makes him 18 of 48. But he was nails down the stretch. I think he had three buckets down the stretch, including the game winner. He was awesome. I mean, if you look at Anthony Davis' stat line, it's going to say great game. But if I'm a Lakers fan, like I'm absolutely disgusted with Anthony Davis because he did absolutely nothing in the second half. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't score. He couldn't get stops. He got the game winner put right in his grill, which, I mean, afterwards he's asked about in the postgame presser, like, what happened on that shot? And he just says, Jamal Murray made the shot. And then he just slams the microphone down and gets up and storms off. Like, I'm sure they're frustrated. That's 10 straight losses to the Nuggets. And they probably feel like they're just as good as the Nuggets. And, like, they've been in probably, of the six playoff games, they probably feel like they've had a chance to win five of them. And yet they're 0-6.
Yeah, he had some crazy number. Didn't he score, like, was it 26 in the first half? Or
I want to say maybe 28, actually. Like, I want to say maybe he only had or maybe even 30. Like, he had fewer than 6 points in the second half.
Like, I know he didn't score in the fourth quarter at all.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he got a bucket right at the beginning. They went to a pick and roll, like, basically out of the second half. I think he got 2 points. And then I think he went the rest of the game without scoring. That's kind of the problem of being on the morning show is, like, you're lucky just to make it to the end of the game, but you don't really have time to dissect, like, actual stats and find cool stuff. We need a designated fourth person that's just their job to round up all the stats first thing in the morning to really drive it home. But, like, yeah, like, Anthony Davis was not good. He was not good in the second half. And if you're a Lakers fan, yeah, like I said, you just have to be kind of distraught. If you're a LeBron fan, you had a game where you're like, it felt like he was in control. Without scoring, I mean, he was dominating the game, and then he did start scoring, and you're like, oh man, this is going to be added to the resume in terms of great moments. It felt a little bit like a throwback to the Cavs Warrior series where he's dominating that team and finding ways to keep them in the game, but just like it did back in 17 and 18, it did feel like a Warriors game where LeBron doesn't get quite enough help because outside of D'Angelo Russell, no one down the stretch is really giving him anything.
Yeah, I'm looking at Davis's line, like you said, John. You know, he shot 14 and 19 from the field, so it sounds like he just didn't even shoot in the second half.
I know at one point, and I want to say it was at halftime, Anthony Davis was 13 of 14. Like, I do remember looking at him being 13 of 14, which means that, you know, at the very least, he missed, what, four of his last five shots? He went 1 of 5 down the stretch. But like you pointed out, like, the shots weren't even there. And I don't know the reasons why. I know he had to sit out a lot of the end of the third quarter and early fourth quarter with foul trouble. He picked up his fourth foul. But it was also just kind of like him just doing his thing where he disappears. And people are mad at Darvin Ham, too. Darvin Ham he's going to be the scapegoat. You know, if they lose this series, Darvin Ham's going to get fired. But I thought it was a big win for the NBA last night. The opening weekend, fairly boring when you look at the scores, you look at the games. But they got a banger at the end of Sunday night, or at least a good rock fight with the Pelicans trying to steal game one from the one seed Thunder. That was a game that came down to the wire. And then they got two absolute bangers on TNT last night from Knicks Sixers and Lakers Nuggets. The Nuggets just feel, I know we use this word a lot, inevitable.
God,
like,
they're tough.
You just kept watching the clock and you're like, man, they keep making plays, and the Lakers can't keep getting lucky that they're missing these open shots. And sure enough, the Lakers, it was really their offense that let them down. They went, you know, a good 6 minutes without scoring.
You mentioned him too, but it bears saying again. Michael Porter balled out 6 of 10 from 3-point range. Doesn't seem to have anything with his brother weighing too heavy on him. He's playing good.
He kind of mentions, well, I mean, he's got his other brother found himself in trouble too. His other brother was going to prison for, was it 18 months, 2 years or something for killing someone while drunk driving. So it's not been a good couple weeks for Michael Porter Jr. And he talked about, you know, his teammates having his back and everything. And He's the one that came up really clutch before Murray slammed the door, but there was a moment. LeBron gets a big steal, a big dunk. They're up three. The Nuggets almost throw the ball away again, and Reeves is fighting for it, with Gordon on the baseline. It's almost out of bounds, and it finds its way back up to Michael Porter Jr. at the wing, and he hits a three to tie the game. And at that point, like, yep, the Lakers are cooked. Lakers are cooked, and that's the way it worked out. This Nuggets team's still not as good as they were last year, though. Like, you could definitely tell that when they go to the bench.
Think they're missing Bruce Brown?
They're missing Bruce Brown a lot, and they're also missing, like, a good version of KCP so far. But, like, Christian Brown gave up 10 points off the bench. Their bench in totality had 12. So he was big for them last night. But, no, you know, it's really just kind of their starting five is kind of all they got. Starting five is good. We'll see if they're able to kind of carry it through the postseason. But they just don't really make too many mistakes. So if I'm a Lakers fan, I'm kind of distraught just because I feel like we blew our chance, and now we have to beat them four times in
five games.
And that's just not going to happen.
No.
It's just not going to happen. And if you'd have won last night and you're going back to L.A., you're like, okay, you know, just win the home games. Just win the home games. We can do that. We don't have to deal with this altitude. And, you know, we get a little bit of a break between the series. I'm pretty sure it's how it works out. I'm pretty sure there's a – you know, at least an extra day of rest between game two and three. Game three is not till Thursday. And then after that, you know, you take your chances if you're up 2-1. But nope. The Nuggets just simply don't lose to the Lakers. What do you think about the first main game, Sam? Knicks 76ers.
What a meltdown.
It feels the same. The Sixers have to feel the same way the Lakers do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's exactly kind of what they feel like. And it seems like you get a... You know, you got great games from their main two, and Embiid and Maxey, and they were electric down the stretch even, and then they just crumble in the final minute of the game, basically, and give one away. And, yeah, you're now down 2-0, and it feels like they could easily be up 2-0 in this series.
I really thought they had them. I mean, they were up five. Brunson gets that three that kind of just, you know, hovers on the rim and drops in, and – I don't know if you guys felt the same way on that inbounds to Maxey. I was watching it going, there. You could feel it. It's like, they're going to throw it away, man. It's just like they couldn't. It was so tough. And you want to hear a fun call? Listen to Mike Breen's call of it.
Double bang.
Yeah. It was great. But, yeah, that was kind of a meltdown. I couldn't help but keep watching, too. Right there, because they were showing Nick Nurse so much, my former CEO and boss, who's still the CEO at Warner Brothers Discovery, is sitting right there. He's sitting with, like, McEnroe and Stephen A. Smith, and, you know, and he's a big Knicks fan, and that was kind of annoying me. I kept seeing him. I was like, God, there's Zaslav, man.
Was he close to Ben Stiller?
No, I don't think so. Now, he was next to the Philly bench. I think Ben might be at the other end, but yeah, it was So I kept, because there was so much going on in that end of the court, I kept seeing him. I was like, I don't want to see this guy anymore.
I got to say, Ben Stiller, it's a good moment for him. I like when celebrities are at the game and you could actually tell they care. And like Ben Stiller, he pushed back because someone on the Sixers had talked about how the Knicks celebrities aren't real fans. And Ben Stiller like got mad about that and talked about how, you know, he loves them. And he has been popping up, you know, the last 5 years that I've noticed. I'm not saying he wasn't there before, but the Hawks-Knicks series, I mean, he was victimized by Trae Young, so I noticed him there. But he seems to be one of those real super fans, like not necessarily the people there just to be seen like Stephen A. Smith. Like Ben Stiller seems to really care. So
yeah,
he looked really happy after the double bang. And the Sixers, man, they scored 101 points, and 69 of them came from Maxey and Embiid. And they lost. They blew a 5-point lead with a free throw to go up six with, you know, basically, I think, 24 seconds. And that loss maybe hurts more than the Lakers one, just because at any moment, like, Embiid's going to get shut down, it feels like. Like, yeah. He can't – I don't trust him to be able to play a long series in this series, really. And, you know – blowing a 5-point lead with 20 seconds left feels a lot more painful, I guess, than what happened to the Lakers. But both of them both of them pretty disgusting. And then you got to worry about the Jalen Brunson. I mean, it hit the front of the rim. It should have been a brick. He should have been getting the rebound to shoot free throws up five, and instead it falls in.
Yeah.
And then you don't call a timeout, and you turn the ball over. It leads to a scramble. But then you dodge a bullet. They miss a shot. But then you go up the offensive rebound, and you give White Dante another look at it from the top of the key, and he drains it. And, like, what the hell is all these Villanova guys running around? Like, I know we've talked about it with the Knicks, but, like, it really – like, Josh Hart and Dante, it's like they've taken all of Jay Wright's energy, all of his clutch championship energy, and they've bottled it up.
For a while they had Ryan Arcidiacono or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Arcidiacono.
I don't know if he's still on the roster, but they had four Nova guys for a little while. You mentioned that about Stiller. That's a really good point, too, because all those guys that I was mentioning that were on the court row right next to Nick Nurse, they're all dressed up and everything, and then I saw Stiller, like, in a big hoodie, you know, and just, like you said, he's there as a fan, not necessarily to be seen, which is kind of refreshing. That's another good point, too. Philly did have a timeout.
Yeah.
Call that, get it to half court. I mean – I don't know. That's pretty inexplicable now that I think about that.
I think Nick Nurse is a really, really good coach, but, man, like, Nick Nurse has urinated down his leg in a couple of really big moments, and he threw away game five, and I still remember of the 2019 finals. He threw away a game five against the Warriors when they're up 3-1 trying to close out. The Raptors had gone on a big run. They'd hit a three. They're up seven. And, like, the place is going absolutely crazy as, like, you know, the Toronto's like, okay, we're maybe about to close this out. And, like, the Warriors were just completely rattled. But then he calls a timeout, and then Klay Thompson comes, and I remember just catches fire, and they end up coming back and winning. And that game might have actually been in Golden State. But either way, the Warriors were rattled, and it looked like they were done for. And he calls a timeout and ruins that. And then last night, he doesn't call a timeout. Maybe he learned his lesson. Like, hey, no timeouts for me. I'm going to overcorrect. I made this mistake once, and it almost cost me a championship. I'm not calling a timeout. And instead, I'm wait, there's Maxey falling down. Oh, God. Oh, God, the Knicks got the ball. Two great games, though.
Great game. One more thing is I can't believe how effective a player Isaiah Hartenstein's become over time. I mean, I remember back when he played, I think it was with Houston. I mean, he barely saw the floor. Now he was a factor last night. I mean, he's their five. You know, they have Mitchell Robinson healthy, but Hartenstein had more minutes, almost double the minutes.
No, Hartenstein's good.
Yeah.
Hartenstein's good. He's a solid player. He was always kind of one of those NBA nerds. He was on the roster there in terms of underrated guys that people, like, really love watching and stuff. But he's finally, you know, this year moved into the starting lineup and now, you know, is not a secret anymore and is thought of as a really good contributor there. The Knicks are tough, man.
Yeah, they are.
They're tough.
I mean, and Josh Hart always blows my mind. 6'4", had 15 boards last night. He is, like, the best rebounding, smallish NBA guy I've seen in recent memory. Nova guy.
21 and 15. Yeah. I mean, if I'm a Sixers fan, that makes me sick. Because they've done a really good job of stopping Jalen Brunson. Like, they've had Jalen Brunson in handcuffs. He, like Jamal Murray, you know, hasn't shot well. You know, he was 8 of 29 last night. His 1-3 was one that hit the rim and bounced in. So you've really locked him down. But it's the other guys that just keep making plays. And DiVincenzo, you know, with the three to go up and eventually win it. Josh Hart, we talked about, 21 points, 15 rebounds. That's got to make you sick. Now, I will say that I don't think those guys are going to play that way in Philly. Like, I do still think Philly can – if Embiid can hold up, I do still think Philly is just as good as the Knicks. It was a coin flip series coming in. They came on the wrong side of the coin the first two. So, like the Lakers, they have to win five or four of their next five, which seems daunting. But I do think, you know, I guess I said you feel worse than the Lakers, and maybe that's because I actually think that the Sixers should win the series or can win the series. The Lakers are just trying to pull off a big upset, and you're worried about Embiid's health and all that. But the Sixers, I do still think, can win two in Philadelphia and get back in the series. I don't think the Lakers are winning two in L.A. Feels like the Lakers are cooked. As long as Embiid can still go out there and play, I do still think the Sixers can get back in the series. I think they're a good matchup.
Have you seen this courtside angle that they're shown on social media of Kyle Lowry falling to the floor at the end of that Knicks game when DiVincenzo hit the three? Because if you're watching it on TV, it looks like Hartenstein cleared him out and, you know, maybe no foul called, et cetera. But if you watch it from the baseline camera angle that they're showing, he flopped. I mean, actually, Embiid shoved him to the floor. There was no real contact with Hartenstein.
Embiid shoved two to the floor.
Lowry.
Okay, so Hartenstein flopped or Lowry flopped?
Lowry flopped.
Hey, you can't say that's a little bit of a contradiction there. Did Embiid push him to the floor? Or did like get Lowry flop? Like because
he pushed. No, that's the point. I think they were trying to get a flop.
Okay.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of people down there, and again, if you were watching it on TV from a main camera angle, it looked like maybe it was contact with Hartenstein.
So but, friendly fire, but Lowry. Well, I'm asking if Lowry was doing his thing where he's flopping around, you know, and selling contact, or if actually Embiid hit him hard enough to put him down, because Embiid's a big old boy.
No, he was. I think Lowry was maybe doing the flop, and Embiid just kind of helped it along.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Just kind of nudged him to the floor.
Gotcha. I hate Kyle Lowry, man.
Yeah.
I was rooting for him hard in 2019, but like since that moment, he is one of my five most hated NBA players. He's been really good for them.
Yeah.
No, fun series. I thought it was a good night for the NBA. I think tonight's going to be kind of boring. So maybe you can take tonight off and get some sleep and all that, Sam.
Preds game. Got to stay up late again.
Ah, damn. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. Are you doing any school right now?
Yeah, I'm doing it right when I get home from the show, like during my classes, try and rip out like a power hour-ish nap, keep myself loaded for the late night games, and then roll into a late night Preds game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got a system?
Yeah, you got to trust the system. I feel like I've been doing this system since March Madness, though. I'm going crazy here.
Yeah, that's I was, again, a little thankful when March Madness ended, but yeah. Now it's just starting all over again.
Yeah.
We'll talk some NBA hoops later throughout the show as we look ahead to game twos tonight. I think it'll be kind of boring. I do think it'll be boring, but we'll switch gears after the break. We'll talk some Tennessee basketball updates on the portal, update on what we're hearing on the roster as the transfer portal blows. So this is a break.
White Claw is taking... When I wake up in the morning, love. It's getting that time of year. It's a little cold today, but again, if you're going to do some camping, we've got a place you should check out. This segment brought to you by Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. You want to get more information, check them out, tworiversrvresort.com. So things keep happening. Tennessee basketball, at least so we hear, John.
The latest as Knoxville turns. That doesn't really have the same flow as the world turns. What a great name for a soap. As the World Turns is a really, really solid name.
That and Days of Our Lives.
Which one do you like better as a name?
Oh, As the World Turns. That was my mom's. My mom used to call them her stories, is what she used to say. That's what she, yeah, that show went on forever and ever. It's no longer around, but yeah, that just because of that link to my mom, I'll always hold As the World Turns as the goat.
My mom was a Guiding Light woman. She liked Guiding Light.
Yeah, I think my mom, because they were on the same network, they might have been back to back, as a matter of fact. So I think my mom was a Guiding Light person too.
So as Tennessee's basketball transfer portal roster blows and turns and shifts and shapes and shakes and all these things, what's the latest, Bob?
Well, we've got Felix. I was thinking of Isaac Okoro. Felix Okpara making a visit to Knoxville today. You know, the more I hear about this guy, the more I'm interested. Again, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think people look at his line at Ohio State, 6-7 points a game, somewhere in there, about 6 boards a game. Pretty high efficiency on blocks. Only played about 23 minutes a game, but was a starter. So I think people look at that and compare it with a Jonas Adoo line, and it's a little different, namely in points scored, and so it gives you a little pause. But I keep hearing about, again, this guy's motor, this guy's physicality. I think about how Barnes likes to shape players and develop talent. Akpara's got a couple seasons left. I think I'm in, you know, and from everything we hear, even from, again, from Ohio State people, it sounds like the conventional wisdom on this is that it's Tennessee's to lose in terms of his visit today, and maybe we'll get some good news. But, again, you never know. He was a guy, the minute that Aaron Bradshaw had committed to transfer from Kentucky to Ohio State, Akpara at that moment in time was saying, hey, I'm still committed to Ohio State. And that's obviously changed in just a little over a week. So I guess you just never know. But he's coming in today. There is a definite scuttle out there that might be becoming more legitimate, that maybe they listened to your ultimatum, John, about our guy Igor Milicic. Sounds like there could be some good news on the horizon with him. We'll just have to wait and see how today plays out. But I don't know. The things, you know, it'll be interesting to see where we are maybe at the end of today heading into tomorrow when we're doing tomorrow's show.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the Igor development, because I gave him a deadline and he didn't meet the deadline. But maybe, you know, these days, paperwork, you gotta work out your contracts, you gotta work out everything. And he's Polish, maybe they move a little slow. I don't really know. Maybe they're a little bit more deliberate and think things through a little more. I don't know. But Awaka, I'm done with Awaka.
I think we all are.
That deadline has firmly moved past. Igor, I'm willing to give him, you know, a little bit of grace, just because I forgot he's Polish, you know.
Croatian.
He's Croatian.
Okay, well, his dad's Polish.
It's Eastern Europe, so close enough.
But. His dad coaches the Polish basketball team. That's what I meant. So he's Croatian.
His dad coaches the Polish basketball team?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, his dad's the head coach of the Polish basketball team, so I guess I've been calling him Polish. Because we had the whole thing yesterday about Poland, and you guys didn't correct me yesterday. Where were you at on that yesterday, Bob?
I think we did.
Maybe just in your mind.
Remember we had that whole talk about Eastern Europe?
Yeah, and I know, and I was saying the Polish are the ones I think I could, you know, had a whole thing about Poland.
Yeah, but I don't think it was linked at that moment to Igor.
I don't know why the hell else I'd be talking about Poland.
Again, Eastern Europe. You were in the vicinity. You were adjacent.
Yeah, I just know his dad coaches the Polish basketball team, so I guess that makes sense. Not everybody who coaches American teams are American. So, okay, fair enough. Croatian. I don't know how they move in Croatia either. So I mean, the point remains.
Faster.
Well. The point remains. I don't know how they get down in Croatia either. So I'm willing to show a little bit of grace.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm a little excited about how today's playing out. Maybe we'll because it feels like we've talked about this for a while. The other one I've heard, and I don't know if you guys have heard anything to this effect, but so Cade Tyson did his visit to North Carolina this past weekend, and he did it, didn't commit. And there's, again, scuttle out there that Tennessee was meeting with him again possibly last night, talking with him. So what I find interesting is if all this is real, and we rewind back to, I think I was the one saying I'm comfortable with Barnes getting 2 kids out of the transfer portal. This could be crazy town, man. This could be as many as 4. You know, you already got D-Stone. You could have a couple more. This isn't even counting Chaz Lanier, who again hasn't yet entered the portal, but the talk there is once he enters, he seems to take a shine to Tennessee. So maybe Barnes is like, this is new Rick Barnes now, apparently. I mean, if they're talking about three or maybe four. They're, you know, you got to believe they're not going to get all these guys, obviously, but they're definitely out there engaged with many at this point in time. And it's, I think it's good to see. We need it right now. Again, John, you said it, you know, I said it last week that Adu was dead to me. I'm afraid we're going to have to make the same claim with Tobe. John's already there, but I think I'm about there myself. It's just going to be an interesting couple days as the portal turns. We need some music for that. Sam, but, work on that.
Knowing Sam and his winners and losers intro, by the time we get the portal, as the world turns, it'll be football season.
Portal music out.
Yeah. Nah, the football portal doesn't really matter.
He'll play that CBS SEC music that they play, the theme music.
Like, unless you're talking about a quarterback, I don't know how much the football portal actually matters. Especially, like, this next go-around, like, from spring to fall. Like, I don't think none of that's really going to impact the upcoming season. But basketball, I mean, yeah, like, I mean, it's crazy, but the moves that are being made right now are championship moves, you know, whether in your conference or a national championship or at least like Final Four. Teams are jockeying for a position there. Like, it's crazy because you don't really think of championship programs being the transfer portal teams, but next year is going to be wide open. Next year is going to be wide open. Like, Tennessee, if they nail this portal one more time, like, they're going to be back in the mix of the top six or seven team. If they find the right combination of size and shooting, and you find the right culture fits. And, you know, I will say, I know I'm kind of having fun with the deadlines and wanting guys to move faster, but there is a part of me that hopes that Tennessee is also being very diligent and not just throwing out offers to people and actually, like, talking and really, like, vetting them culturally to make sure that they really want a guy there and to make sure the player knows what he's getting into. Not just promising him, hey, here you come on in. Yeah, shots. You could take those here. Look at our boy Dalton Connect. We let him shoot all the time. You can be that. You know, I hope that they're actually like, hey, here's your role. Here's how you're going to fit. Here's what the team expects of you. Here's the guy. Here's Jamai. It's kind of nice that rhymes. Here's what they're going to do as leaders of the team. If you want in, think about it. Let us know.
I'm certain that they are. I mean, I think that might be why this is dragging out by our measure a little bit. I mean, if you look at two of the top teams that in terms of transfer portal activity right now, one of them is Indiana. You know, they've got Balo, they've got Miles Rice, they've got Kanan Phillips, I think, or Kanan Carlisle is his name. And they're also now getting this Luke Goody kid from Illinois, it appears. But the concern there is that's a lot of talent, but their fans are saying, are they all going to be able to play together? It's just kind of like a land grab. Kansas did the same. I mean, Self's got all sorts of talent, but I've talked about this before. How well will they be able to play together? And I do think that that's critical still with Tennessee, and that might be why maybe the only reason they came back to Cade Tyson is because he hasn't committed to Carolina. Maybe they thought the same thing the fans did, and once that didn't happen, it's like, well, let's make another run. But I agree with you, John. I think chemistry works for this team. We know that that's a big piece of it. Culture is a big piece of it. I never have doubts that that's still a priority for them.
Yeah, I guess until Cade Tyson makes it official where he's going, you keep that door open because he's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You keep trying because he came out of his North Carolina visit this weekend with no commitment, which apparently reportedly now has led to Tennessee coaches scheduling another in-home visit, I guess, to go and kind of make one more pitch to him.
Yeah, it said that it's very possible that there was discussions happening last night, whether those were in person or not. Okay. So, yeah. And then so let's just see today how it goes. Maybe we get some, it sounds like we could be getting some news on Igor. Hopefully the visit with Okpara goes well. Could be very different here in the next day or two.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird having a completely new look to the team, but them not being freshmen. You know, I know we keep talking about it, but it's just the reality of college basketball now.
Oh, yeah. It was almost a non-story for us yesterday when we talked about Dwayne Brown committing, right? It was like, oh, yeah, by the way, that's what it's become now, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, I don't know how much you can really rely on the high school commits to actually become a big part of your program because you get recruited over every year.
Yeah.
And you got to find minutes. And maybe you can't set the freshmen as much anymore. Maybe you do have to give them some run out there to keep them somewhat happy. Hour one of the books. We kick off hour two with some headlines that you might have missed yesterday. We called about last night. Sam's got it for you. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Looking for a luxury.